Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody had a blessed Monday and are still having one, an awesome weekend. Anybody still wondering, we still have not had the baby yet. I guess she's gotten warm and cozy and settled back in there, and she does not want to come out. So we still got about another week and a half with the midwife as far as the time frame with them. So we're good on that, but Lana's about ready, and I'm definitely ready. So we're ready to get this show rolling. So we'll be praying, and Lana's walking today. Hopefully we get her out in the next day or two. But other than that, everything's going great, and how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing great, but, you know, the thing about it is this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I'll be glad in it. But the chemtrails were so bad yesterday, and today they've got us completely covered up. It's an opaque sky here in Florida, and they've really dropped the barometric pressure. When you drop barometric pressure, you decrease what's called cellular osmosis. In other words, the gradient levels between the cell wall and oxygen in the blood vessels go down low, and you don't have as good oxygen transport into the cells. This is why some days you don't have as much energy when it's cloudy and overcast with low pressure as you would on a day that's clear and crisp with a high pressure zone. So today's one of those days my energy levels are a little bit down. Still feel pretty good. I had to take an extra purple stick for the show today to get booted up. I hate to say I did that, but I did, because I quite frankly didn't have the energy to get really cranked up today. And I thought, you know, this is ridiculous. I said, why in the world? I got plenty of sleep last night. I took my supplements. But you got to look at the osmotic pressure in the cell gradient and what happens in the cell wall and how much oxygen from the blood is able to transfer into the cell wall. And all that's directly affected by barometric pressure. That's also affected by a full moon, because full moon does a lot of the same thing as far as its gravitational pull on human beings. That's why so many weird things happen during a full moon, and that's why they actually call, you know, people during full moons lunatics, because a lot of times during in the hospitals, they have a lot more people going into emergency rooms for related problems associated with full moons. And the hospital people tell you that during a full moon, they get a lot more people in the emergency rooms. And a lot of that's, again, because of what's happening with cellular oxygen transfer into the cell because of the osmotic pressure gradient from the tide or the body being pulled by the moon. Because remember, our bodies are like 90% water, and we're directly affected by gravity, just like the Earth is, because we're part of this planet while we're on it. And so it's interesting to me when you see something like this happen and your energies are down. I remember one time I was in, I believe this was in Australia. Yeah, it may have been Australia, maybe New Zealand. I can't remember anymore. And I remember I was with a friend of mine, Charles and Kathleen, out of California. And I remember we were driving around, and I felt just, it was one of these days like this. And I actually, I hate to admit this, guys. I told Charles, I said, I can't get booted up. This is 15 years ago. I said, I'm going to get a cup of coffee. And of course that booted me up. And of course I didn't sleep well for two nights after that. But I mean, here's the thing, guys. You know, think through this for a second. A lot of people live on coffee every single day. They never get booted up. They never feel good without stimulants. And without stimulants, they feel like all they want to do is sleep all the time, and they feel terrible, because that's how their body really feels. They really feel that tired or that sluggish, and they're having to go on adrenals all the time. With me, pop an extra purple stick, and I'm good. Don't like doing that this late in the afternoon, but sometimes I'll do it just to get booted up for the show. But the reality is, guys, it really affects you with osmotic pressure. And, of course, these guys know that. Along with frequencies, they also affect you. Now, let me tell you another story. This morning I had a friend call up, and this friend's very wealthy. Good friend of mine. I've known him for over 10 years. But the problem with my friend is my friend doesn't really listen to health issues very often. In other words, I give him advice, and he has to wait until something happens to him in order to change his diet or change his lifestyle in order to follow my suggestions. I also helped him years ago when he had some severe depression problems. He did listen to that because he had become suicidal from the drugs they had given him, because one of his sons had died on a motorcycle accident. But the problem is, it's been difficult to try to get him to listen over the years. A few years ago, they basically had given him some high blood pressure medicine, which is so easy to correct just through dietary change alone, and, you know, using things like our magnesium supplements or HGH stimulate, or even exercise or a round trampoline does a great job on, you know, high blood pressure. So they gave him some what's called enalapril, E-N-A-L-A-P-R-I-L. The problem with this is that this product causes kidney problems. Symptoms include the inability to pass urine, a change in the amount of urine you pass, or blood in your urine. So it's not a good product to be on for an extended period of time, but they put him on this product. And I started asking him some questions about what he was doing and what he was eating, and he's still not eating 100% organic food, even though he's had all these health problems, and now he's got kidney problems, and he was denied health insurance by a mainstream provider. because they said that he had been diagnosed with this high blood pressure. They'd been on this enalapril, and now he's down to 90% kidney function. He's already lost 10% of his kidney function. So, I mean, so now he's listening. And one of the things that you have to understand, and I try to explain to him again, is this, is that some of the things that are causing this are heavy metals and agrochemicals such as glyphosate and their residues acting synergistically in basically causing kidney problems. I mean, this is something that was came right out of the Sri Lankan agricultural kidney departments in Sri Lanka, and said a new form of chronic kidney disease among paddy farmers was first reported in 1994. It has now become the most debilitating public health issue in the dry zone of Sri Lanka. Previous studies shows that a intestinal type neuropathy and exposure to arsenic and cadmium and glyphosate may play a role in the pathogenesis of the disease. Guys, when you start eating foods that aren't organic and you have health problems such as kidney problems already, you really have to stay away from heavy metal toxicity and agrochemicals. In fact, it also went on to say in another article that Roundup, it says, this is toxic combo of Roundup and fertilizers blamed for tens of thousands of deaths. And it says the public appreciation of the toxicity of glyphosate, the active ingredient in Monsanto's broad-spectrum herbicide Roundup, is still limited despite highly damning research being published. The fact that Monsanto marketed Roundup as environmentally friendly and biodegradable probably has a lot to do with this general lack of insight. More people are apt to remember that Roundup chemical than first, in fact, that Mon... I'm going to slow down. I got a purple stick in me. More people are apt to remember that the Roundup commercial than recall the fact that Monsanto was twice guilty of false advertising of this herbicide. Mounting evidence shows that glyphosate is far more toxic than anyone previously suspected, but alone and in combination with other additives, as in the case of Roundup, or in combination with other agricultural chemicals and or heavy metals, going directly to chronic kidney disease. More recently, it's been referred to as an epidemic of chronic kidney disease, all the way through, as I mentioned, Sri Lanka, India and Central America, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Costa Rica, and it's been traced back to Roundup in combination with contaminated fertilizer. Guys, this is also going on in the United States, but it's been covered up. Haven't you wondered why there's so many dialysis centers now all over the United States? Think through this with me. I drive to downtown Lakeland into the area where we have the hospital and different clinics, and here's a kidney center. Here's another kidney center. Here's another kidney center. Here's another kidney center. And you're kind of like, what the heck? Why in the world do we have so many kidney centers? Well, because so many people are suffering with kidney disease. Why? Because the food is being laced now with Roundup. The food is being laced with herbicides and pesticides. And our kidneys are having to filter this food out of our system because all these poisons get into our blood. And it's either the kidneys or the liver that are going to take the brunt of this. And this is why we're having so many chronic kidney disease problems in the United States right now and globally. Now, some things you can do for kidney diseases, you can have a plant-based diet for chronic kidney disease, and it actually is a lot better for you, and it doesn't require pills in most cases, it requires a better diet. And it basically means that you go on to a vegetarian diet. Now, if you're going to do the vegetarian diet, if you've got a problem with your kidneys, that's okay, but you have to understand something. You have to supplement with vitamins, and you really need to supplement with some amino acids. If you're going to do that, use our Superfood Complete, which is a complete protein product using pea and rice protein. It's absolutely phenomenal. In fact, I've got a pastor right now, one of the largest churches in the country, has 95,000 members in his church. He's on a 21-day fast using our Superfood Complete. But guys, always remember, guys, these kidney drugs that they're giving you and high blood pressure drugs they're giving you, in almost every single case, they have side effects. And when you have organs as sensitive as the kidneys, you really have to stay away from these types of drugs. Guys, I'm going to say this, and I said this last night on Dave Hodges' show. When you have a problem with a medical condition, don't try a medical drug to start with. Try a natural approach. In many cases, there are natural things that you can do for things like high blood pressure, things like adult onset diabetes, without the use of drugs. There are natural protocols. We talked about a lady last week in England who had blood cancer, and she ended up going on turmeric, and she completely has been in remission now for 5 years, and they couldn't correct it with chemotherapy. Try the natural approaches first, because quite frankly, if the natural approach doesn't work, you still have the ability to do the chemical approach. The problem is this. If you try the chemical approach first, in many cases, the liver damage and the organ system failure caused by the chemical approach is so invasive to the body that when you try to do the natural approach, it doesn't work as effectively as it would have worked because of the extensive damage already done to the underlying tissues and organs. So be very, very careful what you do. Remember, high blood pressure, pretty easy to normalize blood pressure, pretty easy to normalize cholesterol, pretty easily you can normalize weight, and you can basically get your blood sugar down. There's all kinds of natural protocols to follow first before you decide to go on a medical program. Now remember, if you're already taking medical drugs and you're working with a doctor in your area on those drugs, and you want to work with a nutritionist in your area, make sure you have those two communicate and work together to help you come off the drugs. Because in some cases, some of these drugs have to be tapered down and weaned off and titrated down as far as the dosing. So always make sure that you just don't abruptly stop prescription medications. There can be severe side effects, especially like tricyclic antidepressants and serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Some of those drugs are very, 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 very dangerous, and they need to be treated with complete and total respect, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, that's the thing. When you factor all this stuff in, from the pesticides and the herbicides and the pharmaceutical drugs and the aluminum, real aluminum, super toxic to the kidneys as well, the aluminum in these vaccines, the aluminum that were branded in these ridiculous chemtrails all day, all this stuff is really starting to wreak havoc on a lot of our very sensitive organs like kidneys. And then you got to look at the fact, too, at how prevalent sucralose is in almost every single thing on the market now that's not organic or natural. Sucralose is in it. It's an artificial sweetener. It's a chlorocarbon. It's incredibly toxic to the kidneys. It actually calcifies the kidneys. It's so toxic. And that's in everything now, from gum to protein powders to drinks to food, everything. I mean, they're using it in there as an artificial sweetener now. So be very, very aware of that. Also, too, I talked about this about a year and a half ago, right around before Hunter was born, a little bit after Hunter was born. But I got it again. I got a gift box in the mail today from Infamil, the company that makes basically the number one brand recommended by pediatricians for baby formula. And so I thought it was interesting today because I opened the box, and of course I always like looking at all this stuff and being nosy and reading the ingredients and figuring out what's in it. And what's funny now is they have a little label on the front of this now that says non-GMO. And I kind of looked at it and I was like, well, that's weird, because it's not the non-GMO normal trademark as far as the non-GMO project, the green one you guys normally see verified. It's just a little blue block that says non-GMO. And so I start looking at the ingredients. I'm like, well, let me give these guys credit for a second. You know, this is a very huge selling formula. Maybe they kind of stepped up their game with it a little bit. And so the first thing I pull up, it says in the ingredients on the back of the can. I have the can actually in my hand right now. First ingredient is corn syrup solids. Next ingredient is vegetable oil, in parentheses, palm oil, coconut oil, soy oil, and high oleic sunflower oil. Next ingredient is partially hydrolyzed non-fat milk and whey protein concentrate solids with soy. And then the next ingredient is sea choline oil, which is basically a red algae oil for DHA. And then it goes through a bunch of other minerals. And so I had a hard time finding any places online. I looked to see if I could find a true certified non-GMO corn syrup solid. And there is a couple companies out in Europe that can actually bring this over to the country for you. But what's funny to me about it is it doesn't say non-GMO project, nor does it say certified organic or pesticide-free or glyphosate-free. So I started looking around the edge of it, and sure enough, now I found a little asterisk at the side, and it says, trace amounts of genetically engineered material may still be present in this product, such as from manufacturing environments and processing sources. So what they're trying to do now is they're trying to basically penetrate the organic non-GMO market by putting this little block on the side of the can to make most unsuspecting parents see that and go, oh, that's non-GMO. It must be good for them. It must be healthy. It must be natural and safe, because it says non-GMO, when in other turns, in my opinion, if they cared at all about the quality of this stuff, the first thing they would dump would be corn syrup solids and soy oil as the first and second ingredient in this formula. And guys, this is like a top-tier formula. This is a very expensive one. And so it's the Enfamil Premium. I thought that was just interesting, and I want to kind of bring that up today on what they're doing with this stuff and trying to mislead people into thinking they're bringing out really high-quality formulas now that are non-GMO, when in turn they even put a disclaimer on the side basically saying this isn't non-GMO. There's still going to be GMO compounds present in this formula. So I thought that was interesting, Dad, but, you know, there's other options on the market. Obviously, breastfeeding is the best option. You know, we have the goat's milk formula in our one cookbook, Raise Your Children the Way They Should Eat. And so there's a lot of other options like that. But, I mean, this stuff is definitely would not be my first go-to, Deb.
Me neither. Of course not. We already talked about that many, many times. I'm like you, Austin. It doesn't matter if it's non-GMO or not. First of all, I don't believe them. I don't believe they're going to get a high enough source of soybean oil and high enough source of corn, high fructose corn syrup that's not going to be GMO. I don't believe that's possible. I don't think there's that much organic stuff out there like that or non-GMO stuff like that out there. I believe they're under some type of loophole as far as they're saying that the thing's non-GMO, because quite frankly, that's a pretty big claim to make. And they may not be using the exact proper logo for the non-GMO information, and they may have a little asterisk somewhere buried who knows where saying, oh, by the way, this doesn't include corn syrup solids or soy oil. I don't know. I'm not saying that. My opinion. But now I want to cover one more thing. WikiLeaks this week released the book Fury Inside the Trump Right White House, The Fire and Fury by Michael Wolff. Now, it was funny because WikiLeaks released it as a free PDF. And if you're on my personal list, I sent it to you last night. Now, the problem is I made a mistake. I didn't download it into its own file. I did it as the PDF from the Google.com. And, of course, Google's already shut that link down. But it's about a 340-page book. So I read that last night because, as you guys know, I read freakishly fast. And I actually outlined it as far as what should be read and shouldn't be read. There's about 20 pages in that entire book that are actually okay to read. They actually explain a few things that make some sense. The rest of the book's a waste of time. What this book is, and I kind of wrote a summary on this, including and giving you the information on which chapters or which pages are okay. It says the book is really kind of like a soap opera account of the West Wing of the White House. It's primarily an aim toward the Kushners and also to Donald Jr. Thirdly, it paints a picture of the president as an accidental president who is completely unprepared for the political role of being in the White House. It also paints him as a womanizer. To me, some of this read was worthwhile. Most was not. Quite frankly, it was a waste of my time. I don't recommend this book whatsoever. Overall, it's a smear book. I'm glad I didn't purchase it. Many left-wingers will be gleeful because of its content. But I can tell you something now, guys. Listen to me for a second. I can tell you this. Had an expose of the perverted, sick, twisted, satanic Clinton White House been written, the writers would have found themselves in a body bag for even thinking about telling their story. And by the way, Bannon's already apologized. That's the truth. You know I'm right. Bannon has already apologized today. The book was really an attack by Bannon on Kushner and the left-wing media on Trump. Trump just simply found himself in the crosshairs. I don't recommend this book at all. We already know that Trump's a womanizer. That's old information. After the Billy Bush tape came out with him talking about grabbing women, by the you-know-whats and that kind of stuff, we already know what Trump's like. I don't know if the man is saved or not. I really doubt it. Quite frankly, he'd be showing a lot more if he was saved. The book just really was just a smear book is all it was. So, again, I don't recommend reading it. I don't endorse it at all. And quite frankly, again, it was about a 2.5-3 hour waste of my time last night. But I did read it. I'm glad I didn't buy it. And if you did get it from me last night, if you didn't download it and put it into a file, that link will no longer work. So I just wanted to give you guys my heads up on that particular book. It's a complete and total waste of time. Don't buy it. Don't read it. Don't even get involved in it. If you absolutely have to buy it and you want to know what pages to read, I'll be more than happy to supply you the 20 pages or so that were okay to read. The rest of it is not. Also, this weekend I went to see the movie The Greatest Showman. It was a book on Barnum, P.T. Barnum. Good movie. It was a good movie. It was clean, no sex, no bad language at all. It was kind of like a musical. It was actually one of the best movies I've seen all year. Quite frankly, I did not realize that Hugh Jackman had that kind of talent. he's an amazing. He can dance, he can sing. All I ever saw him as is Wolverine. So I mean, I liked him in Wolverine parts, especially as good a shape as he was in. My gosh, last few Wolverines, he was shredded, cut up, and looked amazing. And also, I believe they made a huge mistake of writing him out of that script as far as that particular role. He was a huge draw for that particular franchise. But of course, that's what Hollywood does. They kind of use people and throw them out. But that movie was good. I highly recommend that movie for you to watch. And it's probably the best movie of the year as far as I'm concerned, Austin. What's your next story? What do you think about all the things I just covered?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, he was pretty cool in Wolverine. But, yeah, I remember you telling me you were going to go see that movie. So I'm glad it turned out pretty good and it wasn't a flop. But, other news as well. I want to touch base on this. I got an article. It's actually from the end of last year, so it's like 2 weeks old, but it went into detail. It was from entitled Big Banks Are All Over Blockchain. And what it really goes into detail in, as from WolfStreet.com, is how it discusses the front-end technology of biometrics that they've implemented over the last couple years now, and how the back-end technology of blockchain is what they're essentially trying to do is a digital currency. And it pretty much labeled, goes in, it says exactly what we've talked about, how this blockchain technology was essentially a template to kind of start with, and this Bitcoin thing has just been something that's taken off with it, and they're kind of letting it ride to see where it's going to go. They go into more detail here as well, as far as a lot of, remember, so many people just constantly go off all the time about how anonymous blockchain technology is and how it's impossible to get busted for transactions with it and nobody's ever going to find you, blah, 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 even though IRS has already, I think, gotten like 800 people now that have made like millions of dollars off Bitcoin and haven't paid taxes on it, which, by the way, I'm no fan of IRS, so I'm not encouraging them to do that. But what I'm saying is this is not what we thought it was. And now in Singapore, they said a consortium comprising of a local government body, a number of major banks, including HSBC, Mitsubishi Financial Group, and OCBC Bank, have just completed the ASEAN region's first ever proof of concept for a Know Your Customer blockchain that they're going to start implementing. Using distributed ledger technologies from the blockchains, the KYC blockchain enables information to be recorded, accessed, and shared across the distributed network among participating banks. In essence, what this will be, the banks will be able to register your biometrics, validate and share your customer information, presumably with your consent, hopefully, in an efficient, secure, and instantaneous manner. In other words, in the mother of all ironies, the technology that has so far been geared at guaranteeing basically anonymous transactions, or at least has been marketed on that basis, could soon be used by banks to keep a much, much closer track of your share of data on identities, money flows, transactions, spending habits, and biometrics. So this is exactly what we talked about, and it's all starting to come to light now, that this whole thing from the blockchain technology and the cryptocurrencies is cool. A lot of the stuff behind it is interesting, but it is not what everybody thinks it is, and a lot of this was a beta test to kind of see how it was going to hit on the market, and now the banks are all over it to get their hands on top of it and completely take it over with. So I'm pretty confident in my assumption and saying probably by the end of this decade, we're going to see a full global transaction Bitcoin technology. So maybe not Bitcoin, but blockchain throughout the banks so they can completely monitor and see everything we do with this stuff now, Dad. So I thought that was pretty crazy from that article, but it didn't surprise me at all. But I just want to kind of validate exactly what we've been saying to everybody.
I agree with you 100%. By the way, we pretty much have undeniable proof that Jeff Sessions now is a deep state operative because of what he's doing with marijuana. And guys, you know, I'm not a fan of marijuana for anything besides medicinal usage. You know that. I mean, I've never promoted it. And even with children, you got to be even careful medicinally wise because of what it does to the brain development. But if anybody had a doubt that Attorney General Sessions was an agent for the deep state, you know, you kind of need to figure out he just declared war in all 50 states. In effect, in a violation of the 10th Amendment, he has told all 50 states that if you promote the use of marijuana, either for recreational or pharmaceutical reasons, he will put people in prison. Now, guys, think through this for a second. This basically favors the deep state private prison interests. And I don't know why Donald Trump's, you know, you got to understand that. We're number one. There are over 2 million inmates in American prisons. were about one in every 743 people. Communist China, which has five times the population of the United States, has 500,000 less inmates. The United States only has 5% of the world's population, but it has 25% of the world's prison population. I mean, think through what they're doing. This is prison for profit for the deep state. And, you know, the Soccer did a really good article this weekend, and he was talking about Trump, and he was talking about the deep state, and he was going into detail about some things that were happening in Washington, D.C., and I'm going to go ahead and read you part of that, because the thing about it is that if you understand what's really going on in this war that we have going on with the deep state and with Trump right now, we have to understand what's happening, and that Trump had originally put about a third nationalist and two-thirds globalist in the White House and in his staff positions, and now it's all globalists. And Salker wrote a really good article on this, and he said that in the first months of 2017, there were a time of great hopes following the historical defeat of Hillary Clinton. The year is ending in a somber, almost menacing manner. Not only has the swamp, now listen to what he's saying, easily, quickly, and totally drowned Donald Trump, but the Anglo-Zionist empire is reeling from its humiliating defeat in Syria, and the neocons are now treating our entire planet to a never-ending barrage of threats. Furthermore, the Trump administration now has released the national security strategy, which clearly shows that the empire is in full paranoid mode. It is plainly obvious that the neocons are now back in total control of the White House, which are the Zionists, Congress, and the U.S. corporate media. Okay, maybe things are still not as quite as bad as if Hillary had been elected, but they are bad enough to ask whether a major war is now inevitable next year. Remember, Trump has said there weren't going to be any wars. Hillary wanted to go to war immediately with Afghanistan again and also back into Iran and with North Korea, and now Trump is pushing the same thing. He says in Afghanistan he's predicting that we're going to have a massive surge. It's already been promised. In Syria, we're going to have threats of the U.S.-Israeli KSA attack, an attack on Iranian Hezbollah forces in Syria, which, you know, that's already going on. Now Russia's finally cleaning out the last bit of the mess in Syria. In Russian, there he's saying is probably going to disconnect from the SWIFT, and they're probably going to be stealing Russian assets in the United States and attack on Russian forces in Syria. In Iran, you know, reneging on the nuclear deal and attacking the Iranian forces in Syria. Now, what's happened with all of this stuff, and if you look at it from a pragmatic standpoint, is that Trump has had to get footing of what he wanted to do in the White House. Now, you have to understand where he is in the nationalist and the globalist that he's put into the White House. Personally, and I'm going to say this again, and I say this every time I talk about Trump, because I don't even like talking about him because we get too many emails about this when I talk about him, both in favor of what I'm saying and basically saying we need to support him regardless of what he does. Well, here's the thing. I am not going to support him regardless of what he does. George W. Bush came across and said he was a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, born-again Christian in Texas, governor of the state of Texas, George W., complete and total liar, basically cursed about the Constitution when he was asked about it, Bohemian Grove boy, skull and bones boy, complete and total weirdo boy. I mean, this is who this guy was, and because he claimed to be a Christian, the conservatives all over the United States watched him ram the Patriot Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, and a plethora of other things taking our rights away from us down our throats while he was president of the United States. And I was opposed to it when he was doing it. My friends who were Christians were going, oh no, we have to support him. He's a professor of Jesus Christ. Let me explain something to you. Even the demons believe in God, and they believe in Jesus Christ. That doesn't make them Christians. I'm going to say that again. The demons believe in God. They know God is real. They know Yahweh is real, and they know Yeshua is real. They got that. But that doesn't make them Christians. And see, we can't, just because somebody says they're a believer in Christ, it doesn't mean anything if their actions are diametrically opposed to the beliefs of the Word of God and the beliefs of the Bible. We can't allow ourselves to be caught up into this rhetoric of people saying, oh, I believe in God, and I believe in this, and I believe in that, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden we find out pretty quickly that everything they said to us was a complete and total lie. Donald Trump is a womanizer. We know that. This book really exposed a lot of his womanizing stuff that we talked about earlier, which I don't recommend you read it, but if you do get it, read page 33. It'll go into detail about that that I won't even discuss on the air because it's so toxic. Now, what's interesting about this is, what I tell people is this. Donald Trump has had his entire administration taken over by neocons and Zionists. And so he's pushing that agenda. He's found stability in pushing that agenda because he's gotten support from his group and his basically his base in pushing that agenda because of dispensationalism, which I talked about last week. So what we have to pray is that Trump understands We don't need a war in the Middle East. We don't need to go into Iran. We need to follow the slogan that Reagan first came out with, is Make America Great Again, that Trump used, which I'm okay with that. But guys, here's the thing. We have to understand something. We've got to hold Trump to his campaign promises. We don't need to be involving ourselves in foreign entanglements and foreign wars, regardless of what the Zionists and the neoconservatives are saying in the White House, and regardless of the military-industrial complex. Whatever Trump has to do, whatever he can do, is to resist them to the best of his ability, and hopefully he'll be doing that, and hopefully he'll get a footing after he's been in the office now for a year on what he can and can't do and where he can and can't go, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right on that, man. I mean, there's an issue. You got to think about it, too. I mean, when he got into the White House, and I'm sure it was beyond overwhelming, because I mean, you got 500 different things that you want to do that are taking 5,000 different directions, and trying to keep up with everything you want to do would be an arduous task. And so I mean, there's a lot of stuff that he's done positively, but then there's a lot of stuff that I'm not a fan of, as far as a lot of the key people he has appointed, like Gottlieb, for example. And so that's something that we all have to continue to look at. Back what you were saying about Jeff Sessions, I personally think this is a two-pronged issue, as far as what they're doing right now has two goals of what they're trying to do and why Jeff is doing this right now. First off, exactly what you said, to incarcerate more people, to throw more people in jail. He's already said now that he wants to bring back the mandatory minimum sentences. So if people get caught with over an ounce of pot, which is basically a felony, even if they're in a state that's illegal in, that they basically are going to be charged and sentenced for, you know, 2 to 3 years maximum time they can get because of stupid plant. And the whole aspect of this is, it goes again exactly what I've said before. If a state is not breaking constitutional law, if they're not violating the Bill of Rights, if they're following the law that it was set out to be, and they're allowing the majority of the population to vote on something, and they want something to be legal in their state, the federal government has no constitutional or legal grounds whatsoever to come in and start arresting, harassing, and throwing people in jail because they majoritively voted that they want to have something recreationally used or basically medically used. And the issue is, and Dad and I, we both do the same thing, I'm not a big advocate of people using pot. As far as when it's for medical reasons, there's a lot of benefits to it, especially when they extract some of the CB oils, some of the ones that don't even have any psychotropic effects. But what he's doing right here is he's trying to increase the amount of the grip that the federal government has on the states again, very similar to what Lincoln has. Second, though, what I think this is right now, this is a second prong attack, is he's doing this is obfuscation. Cannabis is a huge, huge hot button in the United States right now. It has been for years, from the states recreating, making it recreational usage, to medical usage, to legalizing it, all across the board. Cannabis is a huge hot topic. Right now that he's brought this up, everybody's talking about it, everybody's bringing it up, and it's obfuscating from what a lot of other things are really going on right now, because now a lot of Americans that are actually awake are all going, he can't do that, he can't come in and arrest people if a state makes it legal, blah, 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 this can't happen, we have to fight back, when in reality, it comes down to it, it's pot. It's really not that big of a deal, regardless, either way. I just can't, it's not that big of a topic. However, it's turned into a national topic, again, obfuscating the looking of what else is going on in the country and a lot of the stuff that's going on in the Middle East that I was just talking about. The fact that we're wanting to get entangled in Iran again, what's still going on in Syria, what's been going on in North Korea, what's going on with Russia still, what's going on here in the United States with the Muslim epidemic that we have, with them still trying to take our firearms away from us. All this stuff right now, every single news outlet wants to talk about Jeff Sessions and him basically coming in and charging people with federal crimes and felonies for cannabis possession. So that's why I think a lot of it is right now, Dad, as far as it's basically kind of a two-tiered attack of what they're trying to do, and both ways it looks like it may possibly work.
Well, again, it's a plant. Okay, I've never used pot. I had a lot of people I knew in Tallahassee when I was at Florida State who used pot. I knew kids in high school who used pot. It really messes with the brain development. I'm going to say it again, with young children. But if you're 24, 25, 30 years old and you want to smoke pot and your brain development's already done, I could care less what you do. I mean, why am I going to tell you what to do? I don't care. It doesn't affect me. You know, as long as you don't be driving, as long as you're not driving around basically stoned out of your mind and not knowing what to do or how to pull out of traffic or whatever, just stay at home and do what you're going to do. I don't agree with it. I think it's wrong. I think it has been shown to lead to higher and stronger drug usage. Your uncle, Todd, who died of the heroin overdose, Austin, he started on pot and got harder and harder and harder and harder on drugs until he ended up on heroin. And a lot of kids do that because they want that high. Because once you start getting those highs from those, and a lot of times they lace the pot with different types of opiates and everything else. I mean, people know that. It's not even like we're not even making stuff up. But the problem with it is that you end up in a situation where you just don't need to see anything positive come from that. It's like alcohol. By the way, Oprah Winfrey is now actively thinking about running for president. I mean, there you go. That'd be really pro for her to be in there. I mean, remember, I was asked to be on her show back in the 90s. And I turned them down. I told them I wasn't interested. I mean, I actually turned down the Oprah Winfrey show back in the 90s, had no interest in being on that show whatsoever, because she's so stinking liberal. And by the way, Meryl Streep, another one of those Hollywood really elite liberals who basically refuses to say anything about Weinstein, and basically is also endorsing, you know, Oprah Winfrey. I mean, this gets ridiculous how this is getting worse and worse and worse with these guys, and how we're finding all of these people out there that are involved in this kind of stuff. And it just gets worse. Oh, by the way, I was on a cruise ship a couple of years ago. We were around Cape Horn in South America. And we ended up having to do the inland passage because we couldn't get around the Cape itself because the storm was too great. And the year before, that same ship had been caught in a massive, massive storm trying to cross, go around the Cape, and was almost sunk. Had like a 100-foot wave crash the stern of the ship and basically break all the windows down in the doggone the dining room area. I mean, the dining room area is way up, and I mean, like 5 or 6, 7 decks up. It broke all the windows out. The storm, the water hit it so hard, the ship was almost floundered, was almost sunk. And so what happened is, when we went through, they weren't going to take that kind of risk again. Well, there's no reason for a ship of that size with the electronics aboard these ships to sail into a storm like this. We're not dealing with, you know, 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. We don't have radar. If there's a storm out there and a ship's going into that storm, all they've got to do is turn around the ship, wait for the storm to pass, find safe harbor. Well, this is not going to end well for the Norwegian sail ship that sailed through the thick of the winter storm in the Northeast this past weekend. This is crazy. Thursday's winter storm was tough to take around the tri-state area. But imagine being in the thick of it on a cruise ship in the Atlantic Ocean. For 20 members of the Ross family of Stony Brook, it was supposed to be they were celebrating the patriarch's 80th birthday on board. But instead, it turned into one of the scariest things. The room had water in it. There was water in the elevator shafts. Water was pouring from the ceiling as the ship began to leak, and everybody thought they were going to basically die. Everybody was throwing up. Total nightmare. People being thrown out of their showers, thrown out of their beds. And, you know, when stuff like this happens, it really amazes me that this captain was this stupid. And, I mean, I'm using the word very clearly, stupid, that he allowed that ship to be sailed into a storm like that to try to maintain an itinerary. Absolutely insanity. And I will give our captain, who I affectionately called Captain Bly, because he was also a nightmare on the Holland America ship that we were on, and I've told you guys that story before in detail, that ship with all the hair and the food and everything else, it was awful. But I will give the guy credit. He made sure we stayed safe. He made sure the ship didn't get busted up again from waves. And he learned the hard way the first time, and he wasn't going to do that the second time. This guy obviously hasn't bothered to read anything about what captains are supposed to do, Austin. And he's blessed, and those people are blessed, that they did not drown. That whole ship didn't sink with 4,000 people aboard, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, they are. I mean, that's a rough time. I mean, that would be pretty scary situation to be in. There's no question about that. And some of these captains are very, very arrogant in that stance. Like I said, I remember the one that you ran into down there on that South American cruise. And, you know, it's one of those situations that's not fun to be on at all. I haven't been on a cruise in a very long time. Last one I did was a very small one down the Caribbean, and it was fine, but I always have an issue being very, you know, closed up for long periods of time in those areas. So I always have to get a balcony as well. That way you get fresh air. I can't stand those bottom of the boat rooms. I've done those before with a porthole or even worse, an inside room. That'd be a nightmare to be in that situation, be locked down there getting flooded out. It's like seeing the Titanic movie again. Be a nightmare. Also, too, other news, this is pretty funny. The Government Accountability Office report now shows federal agents tried to show ease of illegally purchasing firearms online, only to fail in 72 out of 72 attempts. And yet another embarrassment for the gun control lobby. A government investigation of online gun sales designed to determine whether private sellers would knowingly sell a firearm to an individual prohibited from possessing one determined that no, actually they would not. In 72 attempts undertaken over 2 years, undercover agents trying to buy guns through readily accessible internet sites failed exactly 100% of the time to complete a sale when the seller had reason to believe the buyer was prohibited or lived in another state. The GAO report was titled Internet Firearm Sales, ATF Enforcement Efforts and Outcomes of GOA Covert Testing. It was commissioned by three rabid gun controllers, Elijah Cummings, Brian Scat, and Elizabeth Warren. Apparently, they were all lured in by Michael Bloomberg's funded 2011 study, which claimed that at least 62% of private sellers would go through an online sale even after finding out the would-be buyer was a convicted felon. Gun controllers in the House or Senate frequently speak of a loophole that allows criminals to buy guns online. I hear about this all the time. It is one of the most obnoxious things to hear when people spout their mouth off so ignorantly, because I have bought so many firearms, and I bought a lot of them online, and there is not a single place you can go online where you can go buy a gun and have it shipped to your house. Nobody does that. Nobody has done that in years. It's been illegal to do that, I think, since like 1968. And what's funny is, I mean, they talk about this all the time. They say the gun show loophole and online gun purchases, when they know good and well both of them have neither one to do with all the illicit firearm trafficking that we have in the United States. 80 to 90%, in my personal opinion, of the illicit firearms and machine guns that transfer through the United States and the gang members' hands and everything else is funneled through ATF and other rogue black operations. That, in my opinion, I have a good amount of stand as far as intel that I've talked to with people and people that I've been involved in that have verified those claims for me. These guns that you see people get a hold of, yeah, you got guns that have been floating around for a while, or old 30-year-old revolver that got lost and stolen. Sure, but that has nothing to do with anything of what these liberals are constantly foaming at the mouth about all the time, saying we have to shut down the online loophole and the gun show loophole. There is no loophole. It's already illegal to buy a firearm online and have it sent to you. It has to be sent directly to an FFL where you have to go and pick it up and pass a background check. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the whole gun show loophole, 90% of the transactions that happen at gun shows are done through dealers and have background checks. Yes, you can go buy a gun from an individual privately. If dad wants to buy a gun from me and I don't want to pass a background check, or he doesn't want to pass a background check because we both know we don't need to pass one, I can sell him one of my Glocks and he can have it, and that's it. There's nothing illegal about that, and there's nothing to stop that, and you'll never be able to prevent that. At any point in time, if the federal government tries to come in and say person-to-person transactions of a firearm are federally illegal, they will start an uproar in the United States, one that we've probably never seen before. California is already doing that starting this summer with assault weapons, and I parenthesize that because it's absolutely the most ridiculous word I've ever seen to call a semi-automatic weapon an assault weapon. They're saying that you no longer, once you register your assault weapon in California after, I think, July 1st, 2018, it is your firearm. You cannot transfer it. You cannot sell it. You cannot do anything except keep it until you die, and then your estate basically has to void the firearm and hand it back over to the state. That is it. That right there is blatant gun confiscation at its easiest terminology, and that is something we can never allow to start happening on a massive state level or on a federal level. And the fact that California actually got away with doing that and blatantly violating the Second Amendment rights of that state boggles my mind. But again, they've gotten away with a lot. But I thought that article was really funny today, Dad, that they ATF tried to do 72 transactions online and get them to send them firearms online illegally, and nobody would do it online. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, Jeff Sessions, if he wants to go after the states, he needs to go after states for infringing on the Second Amendment. instead of
Their constitutional rights.
That's right. I mean, why would he, you know, whatever, man. If state wants to have abortion legal, as much as I hate abortion, that's not my problem. If I don't want to live in California and have legal abortion, I don't think it's right. But, you know, that's their choice. If they want to live out there and be a bunch of weirdos and Satanists and everything else, I mean, we're not going to tell them what to do. We can't legislate morality. But, you know, when we have constitutional rights that basically are being infringed upon, like the Second Amendment right and confiscation of firearms like California is now doing, I mean, what in the world is the federal government doing sitting on the sidelines? What are they sitting on the sidelines for? I mean, we can't do it. If a state wants to make pot legal like California has done and Colorado has done, okay. They're just afraid it's going to cut into the doggone opium profits as far as with the heroin. That's the other thing we didn't talk about earlier. And the CIA is making $1.5 trillion a year in, you know, an opiate introduction into the United States and their C-130 transport planes. So they don't want that being cut into by people starting with pot and staying with pot and not going any higher because they're going to stay with pot because it's legal and heroin's not. I mean, let's talk about what they're doing here. This is what it's all about. The deep state has continued to be in charge. And, you know, I said this last year when Donald Trump won over a year ago. I said, we'll know if Donald Trump's in charge if the chemtrails stop. If the chemtrails stop. And if he's not in charge, the chemtrails aren't going to stop. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. We're still increasing troop strength in Afghanistan. We're still invading countries. Nothing's changed. Here's the thing. There's a friend of mine, Deborah Tavares. About 2.5-3 years ago, she went into a hiatus and basically had to get out of the whole, you know, alternative news for a while. She's back in alternative news, has a whole bunch of new research she's pulled back up. And you guys know her, many of you know her, Deborah Tavares. I interviewed her multiple times on the Power Hour when I was co-hosting that show, or guest hosting that show, I should say, before Joyce died. And now what's interesting about this is she's going to be our guest, Austin. You don't even know about this, on Thursday of this week. I figured you're about to have a baby. So I figured you're about to have a baby, so I need to line some guests up. And so, so that's why I called her up today, still had her phone number from the Power Hour. She actually answered the phone this time. And she's coming on Thursday, and she told me, I'm gonna steal a little bit of her thunder right now. She says there are chemtrails all over Russia. And I was really hoping that wasn't gonna be the truth. But she said there's chemtrails all over Russia. So if you think that Russia's not getting sprayed, you're absolutely wrong. And I think, again, a lot of this is going on because of the detection of exotic propulsion systems through the U.S. military. And she's going to talk about this kind of stuff and what she's learned now in the past 2.5 years while on hiatus on Thursday. I'm going to give her the entire show. She's going to come on like at 5 after. We'll let her go until the top of the hour because she's that good of a guest. And I'm going to go ahead and allow her just to kind of just be free on the show and do what she needs to do. And I'll ask her a bunch of questions. But, guys, you don't want to miss Thursday's show. It's really going to be a good one. By the way, another woman has died of flesh-eating bacteria infection after eating raw oysters. Guys, we have about a dozen to 20 people a year die from shellfish poisoning in Florida. We don't talk about it in the press because it's not good for the Chamber of Commerce to promote Florida seafood when people are dying of parasites and being eaten internally alive and having a horrible debilitating death. Another woman has died. A woman's crabbing trip in Louisiana turned tragic after she died from a flesh-eating bacterial infection, health officials said came from eating raw oysters. Jeanette LeBanc of Texas reportedly purchased a stack of raw oysters in Louisiana during the family vacation in September. The woman's wife told local reporters that the trouble started after LeBanc ate about 2 dozen of the oysters. After about 36 hours, she started having extreme respiratory distress as the parasites took over her body. I'm adding that. Had a rash on her legs and everything. The woman's condition got worse over the next 2 days, and the doctors determined that the back had been infected with Vibrio. It's a flesh-eating bacteria. She had severe wounds on her legs from that bacteria, they said. Remember, it's eating her internally outward. According to the CDC, the family was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Vibrio bacteria naturally live in certain coastal waters and are present in higher concentrations between May and October when water temperatures are warmer. So, guys, it's something that you have to understand. This is dangerous. About 80,000 cases of this vibriosis are diagnosed in the United States each year, with most of the illnesses coming from eating raw shellfish. 80,000 people, guys! Don't eat oysters. Don't eat sushi. While most cases are mild and patients recover within 3 weeks, a much more serious form of the infection can put victims in intensive care or result in limb amputations. A quarter of the patients with severe form of the illness die. 25% death rate with severe forms. LeBanc died in October after battling the infection for 3 weeks. I can't even imagine what's going through that for 21 days, much less a day, a family friend told later. I mean, this is crazy, guys. The Bible says you don't eat it if you don't eat seafood if it doesn't have fins and scales. That means you don't eat catfish. You don't eat oyster. You don't eat shark. You don't eat whale. You don't eat porpoise. You don't eat mahi-mahi. None of these fish have skins, have scales on them. It has to have fins and scale like a sea bass or like a grouper or a salmon. But stay away from fish that are shellfish. It's so important. The Torah, the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the five first books of Levitical law in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy forbid the eating of shellfish. There's a reason for that. You can die from it. God knew that. He made all of these creatures do what they do. These are filter feeders. An oyster can filter up to 50 gallons of seawater a day. And it keeps the water clean. That's what they're there for. They're not made to eat. They're a septic tank, a filter feeder that sits in the bottom of the ocean or in the coastal waters and filters water. But that doesn't mean you're supposed to go eat the septic tank. You need to avoid eating septic tanks. It's just not something that's going to be healthy to do. Avoid septic tanks and consuming of the septic tank. That includes lobster, shrimp, oyster, prawns, scallops, crabs, clams. All of that stuff needs to be completely and totally avoided. Back in 1981, a good friend of mine, Henry Minks, who's dead now, may he rest in peace, he ended up taking me and another friend of mine, who was the best man at my wedding with Sharon 34 years ago, Gene Dawes, to a seafood buffet at Greenleaf Golf and Country Club in Haines City, Florida. And they had all-you-could-eat seafood buffet. I'd never been to something like this before. It was like $25 a person. Back then, that was a lot of money back 35, 40 years ago. And I, to be honest with you, I really partook of the shellfish. Henry didn't touch any of the shellfish. He stayed away from it. Both Gene and I got deathly ill from the shellfish that we were eating, the oysters that we were eating. And I was sick for almost a week. It was probably the sickest I've ever been with nausea. And I have never intentionally touched shellfish now in 36 years since that happened. Once was enough. My question to everybody listening now is, how often do you want to hug a toilet? I don't like hugging toilets. It's awful. That's kind of silly when I say that. I want to paint a visual for you. I got so sick, and so did Gene. The Bible warns you in Genesis chapter 11, Leviticus chapter 11, not to eat this kind of food. And it's so important that we understand that these weren't God's suggestions. These were His rules. These were His statutes. Many of them were His laws. And He said, if you eat these types of food, you're going to come down with wasting diseases, long and lingering illnesses, and that you're not going to live as long. But if you don't eat these types of food, you're going to live long. Then He says to you, you have to choose life or you have to choose death. And then He tells the Israelites, who apparently were the stubborn, stiff-necked ones of the planet, who He constantly called that, He said, I'm laying before you today life and death. Now I say to you, choose life. You know, you got to tell them what to pick. You got a multiple choice test, and you got to tell them what the right answer is. And it's basically a true-false question. There's two choices. And so, guys, it's so important that you choose life and you stay away from unclean meat. You stay away from pork. You stay away from shellfish. You stay away from all of this nasty stuff that you're not supposed to be eating. Because, guys, it really impairs your immune system, and it can cause you to have all kinds of health problems, including this lady who died of flesh-eating bacteria. She was eaten and consumed internally, by the way. You have to understand what happened here. She took the stuff in internally. This wasn't from a cut on the outside of her body. It ate her from inside out, and she died. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible death. So avoid eating shellfish and crustaceans. And this, again, was one of the top 10 foods never to eat that we've kind of talked about so many different times. By the way, guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening to me on Hagman on Friday night and on Hodges on Sunday night. We had a great show on both those days. I covered a lot of health stories on Hagman. If you guys want to go back and listen to those archives that I haven't had a chance to cover on this show yet. So we covered a lot of information, so I don't want to be redundant and covered again twice. But guys, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your vitamins from us. Thank you for praying for us. I mean, you guys are awesome. I love you guys. I mean, I get all these emails, and also gets all these emails all the time, and we get from all over the world. It just means so much to me that we're making a difference, and we're standing in the gap for so many of you. And so many of you have said that we've strengthened your faith because of our teaching on Jesus Christ and the power of being a Christian. So thank you for all of that. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting us. I love you guys. I'm going to go ahead and do the write-up, Austin. I'll go ahead and let you close, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. And yeah, I mean, speaking of that, too, I mean, with the shellfish, one of the other things we have in Florida consistently is everybody loves to hunt wild hogs down here, wild boar, which they are fun to hunt quite a bit, actually. And it's always funny because when I've gone hunting before, people always want to know why I don't ever even handle the carcasses. I won't touch them, and I'll shoot them where they lay. They're a nuisance animal so much that actually in the state of Florida, they're open season 24/7, 365. There is no closed season on hogs down here in the state of Florida because of what a nuisance animal they are. And it always surprises me how most individuals don't even think much about it. They go cook them up and eat them. Which, I mean, if it's a end-of-the-world, you know, scenario and you're going to cook it, I'd make sure I cook it really, 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 really well done. But trichinosis is a huge problem with hogs and all types of other intestinal parasites with those nasty animals. So it's not something that I ever touch at all, or the crustaceans. I mean, the lobsters, the shrimp, especially the lobsters and all that stuff. You know, I've gone scuba diving many times in my life. I got certified when I was like 15. Seeing those big old lobsters on the bottom of the ocean, I mean, it's pretty cool to watch them run around. But, I mean, you know, you look at them and you go, do you really? I mean, they're same category as they're arthropods, same category as a cockroach. Literally, they're just an underwater cockroach. And, I mean, it's like, so I tell people, I'm like, if you walk in your kitchen, you got a dirty kitchen, you flip on the lights in the middle of the night, and big old cockroach lobsters run underneath your refrigerator, you go and grab them, cut them up, cook them, boil them, really? I don't think about doing that at all when I've seen them before. That's not something that I would even have any desire to go do. So it just boggles my mind that people do the same with just something different in the water, even though it's almost the exact same animal, just on a bigger level. But we appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for all the support you give us. Thank you for everything you continue to do as far as with the emails and buying our products from us and buying our multiples from us. That really helps support the show a lot. Be sure to check out the product of the week, which is the Ultimate Immune Booster, on sale for over 10% off right now. And then we also have some other really good products that you can vote on as well that are poised to win on Wednesday. So lots of good stuff going on, as always. If you need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com or email us 1-800-726-1834. We're always here Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, to help you guys out as much as possible. And we do still answer our phones. You may have to wait on hold for a few minutes if we are extremely busy at, you know, noon hours and stuff like that. But other than that, we're still here. We're not going to put you through five different prompts. I'm not going to make you click one for English. I don't care if that offends anybody. We still are in the United States and we're here in Florida. If you pick up, that's how we answer. There's no prompts. There's nothing to click. So we appreciate your support, guys. Thank you for everything you do and you continue to do. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.